It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there are special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom over government force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You are each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. Thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Nicole, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday. And did you have a good birthday?
I did. Thank you, Kim.
Awesome. Lots going on here in the world, and so we will continue to shed light on all this. Check out the website. That is kimmunson.com. You'll see Brad Beck's most recent essay there, and we published that this weekend in the newsletter. And the recaps and the podcasts are all at the website as well. You can sign up for our weekly email newsletter that comes out on Sundays. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff. And it could be their rights, their property, freedom, livelihood, opportunities, or lives. Force can be a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, the World Economic Forum and WHO, the World Health Organization, the globalist elites, the United Nations, the Colorado State Legislature, the Colorado Governor, and also I'm going to say these initiatives. We're going to have some initiatives on the ballot that will take away people's rights as well. And then we'll have initiatives that will try to protect people's rights. It's going to be a big ballot in November. There's going to be a lot of stuff on there, Joe.
fingers crossed it goes good.
We will be doing our voter's guide to try to help you get your brain around these issues. And so we'll have to start to go to work on that pretty quick as we're starting to see which ballot questions will actually, or ballot initiatives will actually make the ballot. On the show, we're focusing on issues, not people or personalities. However, we will name people that are pushing certain issues, but we really want to focus on those issues so that you can get your brain around all of those things. Our word of the day is, let me get to it. I should remember what it is, but here we go. It's neophyte, and that's spelled N-E-O-P-H-Y-T-E, and it could be a novice or a beginner. And I know that as people are becoming more involved in what is happening in our world, sometimes they feel like neophytes, but it is important that we engage in what this big battle of ideas that is occurring out there. Yesterday afternoon, we had our weekly meeting on our climate conversation, and also as we're organizing our podcasts. And Dave O'Rourke, who's the spokesman for a climate conversation, said $1 trillion in debt is it every 100 days? We are not sustainable. This is not going to work, and we've got to do something about it. And so we do need to be engaged in politics. I know that there's folks that think that, gosh, I don't really need to be involved in politics, but I'm going to find this from producer Steve had sent something over that I got to find the quote on that. So I'll get that here in just a minute. Lots of different things going on here. So our quote of the day is from Mark Twain. And he was born Samuel Langhorne Clemens in 1835, died in 1910, and he was known by the pen name Mark Twain, was an American writer, humorist, and essayist. He was praised as the greatest humorist the United States has produced, with William Faulkner calling him the father of American literature. And he said this. He said, "Do the right thing. It will gratify some people and astonish the rest." So again, that is Mark Twain. Next thing, here's this quote that producer Steve sent over. It's by Martha Gellhorn, and says she's an American novelist, writer, and journalist. Was born in 1908, died in 1998. She said, "People often say with pride, 'I'm not interested in politics.' That might as well say, 'I'm not interested in my standard of living, my health, my job, my rights, my freedoms, my future, or any future.' If we mean to keep any control over our world and lives, we must be interested in politics." And I think that's very well said. Five things that I chose for this day in history, because I look back and I think about these people, what was going, some of this stuff is super tragic. So for example, in 1281, Kublai Khan's second invasion of Japan begins with an attack on Tsushima Island, but meets fierce resistance and his troops are forced to withdraw. 1856, Lawrence, Kansas is captured and sacked by pro-slavery forces. 1881, American Red Cross was founded by Clara Barton. 1918, the U.S. House of Representatives passes the amendment allowing women to vote. And in 1927, aviator Charles Lindbergh, in the Spirit of St. Louis, lands in Paris after the first solo air crossing of the Atlantic. And so those are our day in history. And we did the show last Friday. A featured guest was Colonel Bill Rutledge, and we talked about the early life of Charles Lindbergh, and then on America's Veteran Stories that broadcast this last Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m., we talked more about Charles Lindbergh. And interestingly enough, Congress awarded him the Medal of Honor. And Charles Lindbergh was one of the most famous people in the world after he completed that flight. So in 1927, he arrived in Paris, flying in from New York nonstop. And it was all very scientific. He weighed everything on the plane. He didn't even take a parachute because he knew it was a dangerous flight. But if something happened, it might be difficult for somebody to rescue him, and the parachute weighed too much. So he didn't even take a parachute. Took four sandwiches, a little bit of water. Everything was just measured because of the weight so that he could get more distance on his flight. The first headline that I wanted to go to, and I know this is going to get your blood pressure going, Producer Joe. This is from The Independent, although there's other news sources that did report on it. It says, Denver launches an ambitious migrant program breaking from the short-term shelter approach. And there is a typo in here. It says, hundreds have been crammed into, or let's see, Denver has launched an ambitious new program to support migrants, and hundreds were crammed into the Convention Center for Orientation yesterday. Now, I was downtown yesterday, and I didn't see all that going on, but I didn't walk by the Convention Center. It says, in a hotel conference room in Denver, looks like maybe they don't have their facts exactly right here. It says, Delinas Martinez attended orientation with hundreds of other migrants Monday for the city's new ambitious migrant support program, which includes, get this, Joe, 6 months of apartment stays, intensive job preparation for those who can't yet legally work. It's an about face from strategies Denver, New York City, and Chicago have used as the city scrambled to support thousands of migrants and slashed budgets. The largely improvised support strategies have included days to weeks-long shelter stays or bus tickets to send migrants elsewhere. Now Martinez, 28, and her two children, along with some 650 other in Denver, are being set up with an apartment with 6 months of rental food and utility assistance, a free computer, a prepaid cell phone, and Metro bus passes. Okay, what do you think, Joe?
That's ridiculous because there's so many Americans living month to month and paycheck to paycheck just to sustain livelihood, and we're just going to give people that are here illegally free stuff.
Yeah, bye. It's redistribution. It's really a redistribution. It's Marxist to ding the people that are abiding by the law, that are working, paying taxes, and then giving all of that for free to people that have come here illegally. I mean, it's a real, you know what it is? It's a real gut punch, I think, to American citizens.
Absolutely, I agree.
And it goes on to say, it says, the city is working in coordination with several nonprofits plan. And so that means those nonprofits are probably getting big government grants. And many times these nonprofits, leadership, they're making big salaries as well. So it says to provide courses on the English language, computers, financial literacy, and workers' rights, while also assisting migrants in getting credentialed in specific industries like construction, retail, hospitality, healthcare, and early childhood education. Martina said she will take any job to support her kids. The support will also include help with paper for asylum applications and eventually work authorization. So you can see where this whole asylum situation is being abused, because asylum was ideally for people that were being persecuted in their countries, political or religious persecution, to come to America for a safe place. But if you have a loophole, then ultimately what happens is PBIs figure out how to drive a truck through that loophole, and we see that happening right now at the southern border, Joe.
It's terrifying. Honestly, we just let everybody in now, and, you know, let's see what the consequences are, but by the time we see what they are, our whole country is going to be gone, and that will be unfortunate.
Yeah, if we don't get this turned around. It goes on to say, and then you ask, how did a mom with two kids make it? She said she's from Venezuela, but was living in Peru when she started her journey north. She didn't know she'd end up in a program like this. She didn't even know what the orientation was about when she first took her seat. And it says Martinez traveled with her 11-year-old son and 7-year-old daughter, arrived in the U.S. with nothing. Well, how do you get from Peru to the United States with nothing? How does that happen? I think there's a lot of help going on there. And it says halfway through the orientation, Martinez was excited. Anyway, it says the mood was upbeat in the Denver Quality Inn, where most who attended the orientation were staying. The city has rented out several hotels to support the 42,000 migrants who arrived since the beginning of 2023. Now the hotels are shuttered or winding down as the number of new migrants drops. Where are all these people going? And people they're not being assimilated into this American idea. And that's been going on for a long time when we've had immigrants that are coming here, even legally. I know that they have not been assimilated into the American idea. And so this is not sustainable. And we've got to get this turned around. Denver's at the tip of the spear. I know it seems daunting, but realize that we are at the tip of the spear. And so we have to continue to understand what's going on, and we've got to push back on it. And one of those things that we need to do that, where we need to do that, is at the ballot box. Although we've got a real problem here in Colorado because we have legalized election manipulation and who knows what else, but we have mail-out ballots that are flying all over the state. We are not cleaning up our voter rolls. We cannot audit our elections. They're doing this kind of window dressing of risk limit audits. But with all of this, it's going to be difficult to get things turned around, but we can. We shed light on all of this, and we get to do this because we have great sponsors. One of those is the Roger Bangan State Farm Insurance Team. And he knows that there are unknowns that can keep you up at night, and that's why they can also help with life insurance and health insurance needs to replace lost income. Call the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Insurance Team is there.
Great news. I just got the State Farm Personal Price Plan on our home and auto insurance.
You told our agent about my thing for romance novels?
No, you don't have to get that personal. Our agent just helped me choose affordable options to create a personalized price just for us.
Oh, sweet. Then you won't believe the love triangle Jen is in now.
Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show, and thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. The National Shooting Sports Foundation represents the nation's manufacturers, retailers, and distributors of firearms, optics, ammunition, and other related sporting goods and media. And they have been on the forefront of working to protect our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear firearms so that we can protect ourselves against bad actors. The Western Journal just reported this, that a federal judge halts Biden's new gun control rule a day before it was to go into effect. And this is one of the things I mentioned about redistribution, a progressive tax structure, which are in the Communist Manifesto. But another thing with tyrants that they do is they disarm the law-abiding citizens. And so when we see all of these different bills, different ways to chip away at our right to keep and bear our firearms, we realize that it's really despots and tyrants that push for those kinds of agendas. And I think that there are peoples. I think there are some very, should I use the word neophytes? Can I use that word? Or naivety of those that think that they're afraid of guns, and that if we just got rid of guns, then we wouldn't have any crime. Well, that's really not the case. That's very naive. So anyway, this goes on from the Western Journal. It says a Biden administration rule that would have vastly expanded background check requirements for people who sell guns has been shot down by a federal judge. U.S. District Court Judge Matthew Cosmark granted an injunction to Texas and several gun rights groups preventing the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives from implementing the rule in Texas, and that was reported by The Hill. It says Cosmark was an appointee of former President Donald Trump, ruled that Louisiana, Mississippi, and Utah, which joined Texas in the suit, did not have standing to sue. However, members of several gun rights groups, including the 2 million member strong Gun Owners of America, are covered by the ruling. Other groups covered by the ruling were the Gun Owners Foundation, the Tennessee Firearms Association, and the Virginia Citizens Defense League, according to the ruling. Says the rule was scheduled to take into effect Monday, and it required anyone who sells a gun to be licensed and conduct the same background checks as gun stores. The ATF saying, just trust us, is akin to those scary words, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And it says that we don't trust you, we don't want your help, we want you to stay in your lane and respect the Constitution. It's so unfortunate. This is the other thing that is happening, though, is flooding the zone with legislation on the local, the county, the state, and the national level with all kinds of different affronts. In this case, this would be on the Second Amendment, and flood the zone. And it's so difficult that and so expensive to try to mount legal challenges to all these things. And those that are pushing these agendas forward, they know that. And so it is a strategy. And it makes me think, I was thinking about all of you and what is happening in our state. I was downtown yesterday, and it's not vibrant whatsoever. I remember when I moved to Colorado, I loved to go down to 17th Street, was called the Wall Street of the Rockies. It was vibrant. There were people everywhere. There were restaurants. People were thriving and prospering. It feels dead. It feels like a dead plant down there. And I walked across the 16th Street Mall, and I looked down, and they're certainly doing construction there. I think one of our listeners said you can't put lipstick on a pig, and that's what I think they're trying to do down there, but spending a lot of our money to do so. And in redoing the 16th Street Mall, it was policies that really destroyed downtown. And I don't see, unless we've got to change things, and we've got to change leadership at the state legislature, in the governor's office, but also we need to be very attuned with what is happening on the local level as well. And I mentioned yesterday the Douglas County commissioners had voted that they would actually honor Second Amendment rights of each of us to regarding this this piece of legislation that was passed regarding firearms in what they call sensitive spaces. Next thing, this is super interesting. It says Louisiana is set to be the first state to require the Ten Commandments in every classroom. And it's to be in all publicly funded schools. And the requirement would occur would extend to colleges and universities. It says the Ten Commandments must be displayed on posters or documents at least 11 by 14 inches in large, easily readable font. It says lawmakers in Texas and South Carolina attempted to pass similar bills, but they have not reached final approval. The new bill has sparked controversy over its potential violation of the First Amendment's Establishment Clause and the issue of separating church from state. The Establishment Clause states that government cannot make any law respecting an establishment of religion. However, GOP lawmakers argue that displaying the Ten Commandments holds historical value. Republicans also cite the Supreme Court's ruling in favor of a high school football coach that was fired in Washington State in 2022. It says the Ten Commandments are the basis of all laws in Louisiana, said State Representative Dodie Horton, Republican. And given all the junk our children are exposed to in classrooms today, it's imperative that we put the Ten Commandments back in a prominent position. I totally agree with them. And I remember it says in the Constitution that government cannot make any law respecting an establishment of religion. I would submit to you that in this secular world that we live in now, that climate change, environmentalism, that those are a religion, and it has all the tenets of religion. It has a mantra, it has people that totally believe in it, that push it, and so we have in our classrooms and in our literature, in our books, the things that we are teaching our kids every day in the news. There is this religion of climate change, and that is being taught in our classrooms on a consistent basis. There's also the religion of transgenderism that is being taught in our classrooms as well. So I think that this is a really good move, and I think that having it on the wall, of course, you can see how woke, radical teachers, administrators might try to get around that, but I think that that is pretty, pretty interesting. Next thing, this is from the Daily Mail. It says an explosive survey shows voters want deportations to fight the migrant surge. And it says fears about America's immigration crisis have been laid bare by a poll that shows broad support for roundups and mass deportations of non-legal migrants. Fully 56% of voters said most or all immigrants in the U.S. illegally should be rounded up and deported. And that was a Reuters LPSOS poll. And it's that is understood to apply to at least 10 million people and perhaps many, many more. This is clearly going to be the issue that will be on voters' minds. So what you're going to see, though, is the radical activist Democrats, the only thing that they have in their toolbox is abortion. And so that will be what they will focus on instead of all of these things that are totally destroying our country. And so just stay tuned on and, you know, all of that that is going to be occurring here. This is from 9 News, and it says, here are population changes in Colorado's biggest cities according to the Census Bureau. And goes on to say, out of Colorado's largest metropolitan areas, a few saw their population either remain the same or even decrease last year, according to data released Thursday by the U.S. Census Bureau. It says the state's population as a whole increased 0.6% between July 1, 2022 and July 1, 2023, to a total population here of just a little over 5.8 million people. And that is a slight jump from the year prior when Colorado saw an increase of 0.5%. Then it goes on to say, Arvada, there was no percentage change. Aurora was up 0.3%, Boulder 0.3%, Castle Rock was up 1.6%, Centennial 0.9%, it says Colorado Springs up 0.5%, Denver, Fort Collins, it says Longmont had a 0.2% decline. It said Pueblo had a 0.3% decline. It looks like it actually remained pretty static. And that's probably why housing prices continue to remain strong here in Colorado. The show comes to you because of our sponsors. And one of those, I think I also mentioned, was the Harris Family, the National Shooting Sports Foundation. But another sponsor is Hooters Restaurants. And how I got to know them, it's a very important story. It's more important each day as we see PBIs trying to exert more and more power and control over our entrepreneurs and our businesses. And you can find that whole story. It was when I was on City Council. That is at my website under the Hooters tabs. But they have great specials Monday through Friday for lunch, all kinds of other specials for happy hours. And then also Wednesday, they have Wednesday specials. So really appreciate Hooters Restaurants and their sponsorship of the show. And the Center for American Values is located in Pueblo, Colorado. And I dearly do love Pueblo. I love the people there. And it is located on the Riverwalk. And it really does two things. It has these portraits of valor of over 160 Medal of Honor recipients with their quotes. It's a very very reverent place, but also to take what the inspiration from what these men did, and they're putting together all these educational programs for K through 12, online programs and other educational materials. And you can get more information about all that by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. Another great sponsor of the show is John Boson and Boson Law.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Boson Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Very pleased to have on the line with me Dr. Travis Morrell. He is the founder of Colorado Principal Physicians and was a panelist at the Colorado Parents Advocacy Network Summit on Safeguarding Children from Gender-Affirming Care, which was a recent summit that they had. Dr. Morrell, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me this morning, Kim.
Well, tell us a bit about your journey in this whole arena, because Dr. Morrell, we're talking about this really attack on our children on a regular basis on the show. But when I first start to talk with some parents, grandparents, about this whole agenda regarding this transgender activism on our kids, they almost can't believe it. So tell us about your journey.
I understand why they couldn't believe it. So I actually started my career as a physician almost 15 years ago in gynecology residency, and I started out early on presenting on adult trans-affirming, or at the time, trans reassignment surgery, it was called, and then I was prescribing hormones for adults. And at the time, I was the only doctor in my clinic willing to do that. And, you build a very unique and strong bond. It's, to be honest, very rewarding when you're offering something that's cutting edge that patients can't get elsewhere. But I was very aware of the side effects and risks that patients frequently experienced, and I was well aware of the side effects of the various puberty blockers, hormones, and surgery from my time with that experience. And when I more recently, in the 2010s and 20s, realized that people were doing this to kids, I realized that there was no way that this was evidence-based. And I realized that, I had just trusted kind of professionally, or maybe even blindly, the WPATH guidelines, which is the World Professional Association of Transgender Healthcare. And as we'll talk about, the CAHPS review shows that the reason that people can't believe this is going on is because this organization, WPATH, and some organizations that just copy guidelines for them have really broken their trust with their patients, professionals, and the public.
Okay, so when we were preparing for the show, you said that there was a CAHPS review that you really wanted to let people know about.
Right. So the in the UK, their health system is called the NHS, or National Health System. And they noticed that, early in the 2010s, there was maybe 50 kids a year getting referred for this kind of treatment, puberty blockers, hormones. They really haven't done a lot of surgery for kids there. Like in Colorado, we'll do a mastectomy, that is, cut off both breasts of a child at age 15. That maybe wasn't their emphasis, but they were doing puberty blockers and hormones to kids, 50 a year maybe. They realized in the later 2010s that this had blossomed to maybe 2,000 kids a year, so a 40 times increase. And it had gone from mostly boys, which has been the history for decades and decades, to mostly girls. So they realized something was going on. So they had a pediatrician, independent pediatrician that they respected, and a team spend 4 years reviewing all the evidence on this. And her name is Dr. Hillary Cass. And the Cass review found, in short, that there really never was evidence for this kind of treatment, and there still isn't evidence for this, but the side effects are pretty profound and obvious.
So, and this is over in the UK, right?
That's correct.
So why is this CAHPS review so earth-shattering?
I think it's, the truth is there's actually been several systematic reviews. There's beforehand that have found similar findings. The truth is that there are evidence-based nonpartisan organizations in this country. I think of the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine and also GenSpect, which is an Irish group. These are not political, or GenSpect is actually left-leaning, but have found very similar findings. But to have a socially liberal government have a very professional, you know, expensive review find that there's not evidence for giving kids puberty blockers and hormones, that this doesn't seem to help suicide like we've often been promised, or parents are often even threatened, you know, if they don't go through this transition for their kids with, you know, despite the permanent side effects, they're threatened that they'll have a dead child, and that the these medicines are not working as they're promised, that in the face of kind of a lot of American guidelines, this was kind of earth-shattering to a lot of people to see.
And your journey, because you were in this arena, have you changed your thoughts about gender-affirming care for adults?
Well, I'll tell you what, I definitely don't take, you know, my organization doesn't take a position on that. We have adults, we have surgeons that do this still for adults. We have people that are much more conservative or careful about this. But I'll tell you what, I definitely wouldn't take anybody's opinion on this without looking at the evidence myself. I wouldn't take any of it secondhand anymore.
But you really are over in the arena, though, that you do not support, I have this air quotes, gender-affirming care for kids, what, under the age of 18 or what?
Yeah, we think that, you know, my organization, Colorado Principled Physicians, which is a group of physicians of all specialties, nonpartisan across the state of Colorado, we take a hard line that basically, you know, under 18, and this is not something that should be done. There's never been evidence for it. We're aware of that. And even the up-to-date review of the evidence, the CAS review is done, there's no evidence for this. It's unsafe. There's long-term cognitive, brain, bone, reproductive side effects. Even if the kid grows up and when they're 18 or older, they want to be trans, they end up it turns out that they're gay or lesbian. No matter what the outcome is for these kids, having done these medicines will have hurt them. And so the fact that the gender-affirming care, as it's called, is hurting kids of every background, we're against that.
Protect Kids Colorado is working on two initiatives, which I think are very important. They want to get them onto the ballot. They're in the signature gathering phase right now. And one of those is that to keep boys out of girls' sports. And the other is that if a child is experiencing any gender incongruence, that the school, the officials need to notify the parents within 48 hours. This is mind-blowing. Again, I think to parents that their kids could be going to school and unbeknownst to them, they might be changing into other clothes, have people call them by a different name. It's again, this is mind-blowing. I think to many parents, they can't even wrap their heads around the fact that this might be occurring in Colorado schools and that parents would not be notified. I mean, this is a huge deal, Dr. Morrell.
Well, you're right that, and I found that most parents don't really, you know, believe this could be happening in Colorado. I've grown up in Colorado, but you know, if you look at Protect Kids Colorado, they made a movie called The Art Club Movie, artclubmovie.com, and, you know, the mom, Erin Lee, I believe they were, you know, fairly left-leaning and so forth, and this sort of happened to their kid behind their back in a Colorado public school or charter school, I don't remember, and I'm aware of other moms this has happened to, and one of them told me they know 30 other moms in Colorado that it's happened to. So, you know, unfortunately, this is a real thing. And the reason is that people really seem to believe that by social transitioning these kids behind their parents' back, they're saving the kids' life, saving them from suicide. And I want to emphasize that that's not been found to be true. And I don't think we should ever tell kids that they're just condemned to commit suicide. That's wrong. There's always a better option. There's always a better choice. Things always get better, and so we shouldn't tell kids that. And parents should be aware of what's going on, and they need to follow up with their teachers and their students about this. And the CAS review, one last point, the CAS review does actually speak to this. they're very much the biggest thing about the CAHPS review is the American Academy of Pediatricians frames any kind of response to kids questioning their gender or any thoughts about this, it's always affirming that they are the other gender. And I can read you from their guidelines. You can find them online. Whereas CAS says, no, you need to really emphasize psychosocial support, treat their other, maybe they have depression or anxiety or something, or autism. Really deal, not only note that, but treat those things first and then talk about the gender stuff last of all and wait and see how that plays out. And this is a complete paradigm change for America. I hope it will be. I anticipate it will be. But your school, although most school teachers, I do not think buy into this by any means, there's going to be a couple that really do, and parents need to be aware of that.
Well, I think that's a real key point because I think there are so many people that have gotten into the teaching profession because they want to teach children. And I think many times they might be quiet when you have those real loud activists that are pushing these agendas. And we need certainly teachers to stand up against this. But parents need to be involved in their children's lives. The story of Aaron and John Lee, which you mentioned, which is Art Club is the name of it, but you can watch this for free, artclubmovie.com. And it's their journey, their 12-year-old daughter. Again, those that want to prey upon children, they can see, where somebody might be vulnerable. And so Aaron and John's daughter, she was, I think, 11 or 12 years old, coming out of COVID. So that was, that was a crazy thing for all of our kids. So coming out of COVID, she was shy. She was new in school. So those three things, a predator that wants to prey on vulnerable children with this particular agenda did that. They invited her to Art Club, and I have that in air quotes, after school, and it was actually a transgender indoctrination meeting. And to Aaron and John's credit, they really in tune to their children. And I think Erin said, she knew when her daughter came home from school that something was different. And so they continued to have some conversations about it. And then eventually, the truth came out about what happened. But these predators start these meetings with don't tell your parents. And then schools that do not tell parents. Whenever you hear those words, Dr. Morrell, that is... that means danger, danger, from my experience.
Kim, parents are the ones that would sacrifice their own life for their children, 99.9% of the time. And everybody else, might want to vote on kids or this or that, but it's really the parents that care most for the kids. And so any kind of messaging that somebody other than the parents is the best person to talk to kids about anything important is absolutely wrong. I think that's just odd. I think that's an easy one, I think.
Okay. Well, we're talking with Dr. Travis Morrell, and he was part of the Colorado Parents Advocacy Network, had a recent summit, Beneath the Surface, Safeguarding Children from Gender-Affirming Care. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. And we have these important discussions because of our sponsors. I know each and every one of them personally. They all strive for excellence in their chosen fields and taking care of their customers and their clients. And one of those great sponsors is Lauren Levy.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are in inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Franktown Firearms is fully stocked and ready for you to come shoot. Franktown Firearms is a family-friendly shooting range and gun store, constantly bringing in new inventory of ammunition, firearms, and accessories that you need. Come down to shop or just shoot on their spacious, well-ventilated 10-lane, 30-yard range with staff who will help you become as proficient a shooter as you can be. You'll have a blast with their multi-level training courses that also include tactical shooting while walking, moving, and shooting from behind cover. This isn't your average range, and it's not your average inventory. If Franktown doesn't have it, they'll help you track it down. And for a limited time, KLZ listeners enjoy an exclusive offer. Tell them you heard this spot on KLZ, and they'll give you a free gun rental, Class 3 weapons not included, when you rent a lane. And they'll give you your first membership month for free. So stop in and let them know KLZ sent you. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Dr. Travis Morrell, this is a really interesting journey that I think that you have been on. And you were one of the panelists on this recent summit at the Colorado Parents Advocacy Network, and people can get more information by going to coloradoparents.org and then take a look at their the CPAN TV. And your journey, I've been thinking about this. How is it that all of a sudden, I mean, 10 years ago, I didn't really hear much about transgenderism. How is it now that we are told that there are high percentages of primarily, I would say, girls in the ages 10, 11, 12, and older that now think they are transgender? What's changed? How did this happen? In all of history, this has not been something that's happened. And now, how is it all of a sudden here in America, this is so prevalent?
That's a really insightful question. I think there's a lot of elements to it. The short answer is I think that American medicine right now, unfortunately, is selling this or holding this out as a panacea, something that's going to fix everything. And we've allowed really social media trends to drive some of this. And so I think that girls, unfortunately, have especially some unique challenges. You're growing up, I don't really have any friends or patients that tell me puberty was a great time for them, and they're going through a lot of challenges. And to be honest, you know, in America, we fix a lot of things through consumerism. You know, if I just had that car, if I just had that house, if I just had this, and we do it cosmetically too. If I just had this, you know, facelift, this hair implant, and so forth. This is how America does things a lot of ways. And of course, I love my country, but this is probably not one of the better sides of us. And unfortunately, these kids are hearing from other kids that, man, if you just could pass as another gender, if you could just get on the hormones, you'd feel so much better. And of course, if you put a girl on testosterone, they probably are going to have some more courage and different things when they first start taking it. I do hear that they do feel calmer at first when they start on this. And, you know, if you could just get your breasts taken off your mastectomy, then you'd pass and you'd feel better. If you could just. And this is something that, to be honest, we can all fall into in different areas. But when you're a kid, you're a teen, this is especially susceptible. And kids that do go down this road find a lot of support, a lot of encouragement. Unfortunately, we found that the detransitioners, people like Chloe Cole, who also spoke at the Safeguarding Children from Gender Affirming Care Summit that CPAN put on, you know, once they realize that, oh, crud, they made the wrong decision and they've been injured by doctors, at that point, they're often left in the cold. So I think some of those reasons are the reasons that this is so popular. I'd say one more thing. I hate to say this, but the Human Rights Campaign and some other activist organizations that I could name that I know a lot of people are thankful for, some people aren't, for getting really this country to accept gay marriage in 2015. At that point, I think they were left without a job, and what they have taken on with their several tens of millions of dollars a year is this kind of transgender and kids activism. And your hospital, you can check online, but whatever hospital or clinic you go to, there's a good chance that their so-called healthcare equity index is 100, meaning they're doing everything, they're jumping through all the hoops that the so-called human rights campaign is pushing them for. One of these things is to do transgender procedures and medicines on kids. And I found this to be the case in some of the hospitals that are getting sued now for doing this on kids. So there is definitely a kind of a money or activism behind the scenes thing. And then I think there's some social components and unique cultural components to that. It's a very good question.
Well, and to your point, yes, I would not want to go back to eighth grade. I actually grew to this height about in fifth or sixth grade. I thought I was going to be like over 6 feet tall, but then I quit growing. But I was tall and gangly, and it was a difficult time. And I really wasn't getting along with my mom that well at that time either. And so I think I don't think that's uncommon, Dr. Morrell. I think that happens many times with teenage girls and their moms. What it does then is my mom was right on a whole bunch of stuff, and I was pushing back at the time. And I'm glad that she, stayed strong on that. But I was pretty vulnerable, I think, at that time. And fortunately, I don't think I would have gone down this road, but you could see how predators could prey upon those situations.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's just a time where you're, kind of showing your independence to your parents, and some of that's a good thing. And then when this is really popular, they found that in a recent study that the kids that end up going through some of this transition spend on average an extra 4.5 hours a day of screen time. So we definitely think there's an element to kind of other influences, other people influences on social media as to why this starts looking like a great option.
So getting kids to get outside. Yesterday we talked about this, and it was really difficult for me to find a guest. And Colonel Bill Rutledge, 95 years young, he and I were talking about it. He says, well, Kim, I can speak to it, and that is taking the boy out of Boy Scouts. And several things. There's going to be a question on the ballot. It was referred to the ballot by the state Senate. Six Republicans helped get that over the threshold so that it would be on the ballot, and that is to change the Colorado Constitution. It now says that the definition of marriage is between one man and one woman. And I think that when we started to redefine words, that this became a slippery slope. And so now here we are from redefining marriage to over here redefining boy and redefining girl. And so if two men, two women want to have a relationship, what happens behind their closed doors, I don't care. I don't want to know. But that is not marriage. That's a different relationship. And so redefining words, when we didn't stand over here on redefining, and there's all kinds of words, then we get over here where now there seems to be, truth that is being questioned. I know that's a big statement. What do you think about that?
Well, I will definitely agree that redefining words is, anytime that happens, you need to kind of ask the question, what does somebody mean? You can't really have a discussion, much less a scientific discussion, unless you agree on the definition. So I think that's always a flag that some people need to ask questions to. And I do want to encourage listeners, if they're interested in hearing Aaron Lee's experience, Chloe Cole's experience, a Colorado psychologist and a journalist, you know, they can do that for free. It's normally has a cost, but it's cpan.vhsx.tv. I'd encourage them to do that, and they can download it for free with the code a friend, as they're a friend of your show today. I just wanted to pass that message on from CPAN.
Okay, that's great. And the website is coloradoparents.org, and then they have a TV tab that you can click on, and then you said just put in the code friend, and they can watch that for free. We're just about to the end of the show, Dr. Travis Morell, and I really appreciate you joining us. What is the final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners?
My final thought would be, if you see this as a concern, it's really your responsibility to speak up, because it's not evidence that's pushed this, it's activism, and it's only going to be stopped by other people speaking up. If you're a doctor, please join me at coloradodoctors.org. You can check coloradoparents.org, or if you have some other role in life. But we all have a responsibility to protect our children from this.
We really do, and throughout history. I mean, that is, and the American idea was to pass liberty on to our children. Liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. So, Dr. Travis Morell, thank you so much, and thank you for your work. And again, go to coloradoparents.org and click on the TV icon there, and then that will bring up Beneath the Surface, Safeguarding Children from Gender-Affirming Care, of which Dr. Morell was one of the panelists. And when you click on that, you can watch it for free by putting in friends. So, Dr. Morell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim, so much.
And this next Monday is Memorial Day, and the USMC Memorial Foundation will be hosting an event in honor of Memorial Day out at the Marine Memorial, and you can get more information on that by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That's usmcmemorialfoundation.org. I tell you, Paula Sarles and her team, she's the president of the foundation. I don't think they sleep, because they get all kinds of things done. Our quote for the end of the show, I went to Mark Twain, and he said this. He said, give every day the chance to become the most beautiful day of your life. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there are special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom over government force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Nicole, Zach, Echo, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday and happy day after your birthday, producer Joe.
Thank you, Kim. Happy Tuesday.
And check out our website. That's kimmunson.com. You will find the recaps and podcasts of our show there. And you can sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. We just published one by Brad Beck regarding the highest good, and so check that out. My web, you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Disclaimer, I am behind on those. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not need to force to implement it. And on the show, we focus on issues, not people or personalities, but obviously issues are pushed by people. And so we will talk about that. Our word of the day is neophyte, and that is spelled N-E-O-P-H-Y-T-E. It could be a novice or a beginner. And I think there are many neophytes that are becoming more and more involved in politics as we're realizing just what is at stake in this amazing, blessed life that we have lived as Americans. And it is all because of this American idea of the sanctity of the individual and individual liberty, which is the responsible exercise of freedom. And it's because of all of these things that that we have been able to thrive and prosper. And now it's almost like we have it's like cut flowers. And I think that Dennis Prager had said something along this line, is, you know, there's a difference between something with great roots a healthy plant. And then there certainly are beautiful bouquets of cut flowers, but there's no roots. And what will happen is that will eventually die. And I was downtown yesterday, and when I moved to Colorado, downtown was vibrant. It was known as the Wall Street of the Rockies, and there was a lot. And I was in the investment business. I mean, I loved it, and it was vibrant and all kinds of hope and opportunity. And it just felt dead to me down there. And walked across the 16th Street Mall, and they're redoing that. And it's like, why? And because unless you change the policies, people are not going to want to go down there. And the fact that Colorado is 47th in the country for safety, so it's number three for violent crime here in Colorado. And again, this is all because of public policy. And so producer Steve had sent this over to me. And it was by Martha Gellhorn, American novelist, writer, and journalist, born in 1908, died in 1998. She said, "People often say with pride, I'm not interested in politics. They might as well say I'm not interested in my standard of living, my health, my job, my rights, my freedoms, my future, or any future. If we mean to keep any control over our world and lives, we must be interested in politics." Then the quote that I had selected for today, this was by Mark Twain, and he was born in 1835, died in 1910. He said, "Do the right thing, it will gratify some people and astonish the rest." And again, that's Mark Twain. So we went through some headlines, and I will just re-mention, if I can get to it, I've got too many headlines here now, regarding Denver. Oh, gosh, let me get to it. One other spot here. And that is regarding Denver is giving free rent. Here we go. It says, this is from The Independent. And it says, Denver launches an ambitious migrant program breaking from the short-term shelter approach. And this was in a conference room. There were a number of migrants there. And it says what it is doing is that it is going to set up for 650 people, an apartment with 6 months of rental, food and utility assistance, a free computer, a prepaid cell phone, and Metro bus passes. Who is paying for that? We are all paying for that. And it's pretty unbelievable. While everyday Coloradans are just trying to keep it together, go to work, take care of their families, and put food on the table, they're also paying for a whole bunch of other people that came to our country illegally. They're paying for themselves, and then we're paying for those as well. There's something that is wrong with that picture. Do check out aclimateconversation.com. You can watch the movie A Climate Conversation there for free. And then we have started a new podcast series with nationally and internationally known guests. And each of those podcasts is about an hour long, and it will help you get your brain around this issue so that you can engage in conversations with your friends and your family about this whole climate change narrative, because that is being used to really shut down our economy, take away our choices, for example, on refrigerators, light bulbs, lawn tools, cars, heating your home, just fill in the blank. So be sure and check out aclimateconversation.com. I have great sponsors, and I know each and every one of them personally. And we have on the line with us John Boson with Boson Law, and they are the people to call if you have been injured on the job, in a car accident, slip and fall, call them immediately if that happens. John Boson, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
Just a question. Can you believe this about what they're doing in Denver with the illegal aliens that have come here and giving them all this free stuff? I mean, there's something wrong with that picture, John Boson.
You think so? The newcomers, don't they just deserve anything and anything they want and make demands? And it's crazy, Kim. Who would have ever thought?
I know. But that's why it's important that we shed light on this. And so with that, I mean, Denver is number three in the country now on violent crime, and it's just mind-blowing to me. So what's on your radar, John Boson?
Well, I met with a husband who was involved in an accident. His wife was a passenger, and it brings me back to the same point. If you are involved in any kind of an accident and you've got some pain, not to ignore the pain. Even if it's fairly what you consider to be minor, let's say you have a high tolerance for pain, you've got something that wasn't there, you're involved in an accident, you feel something, it's important to get checked out and get medical attention, get an evaluation, examination as quickly as possible. This person had some pain. Fortunately, they didn't ignore it. If they had, she may not have made it because she had torn, and I apologize for the dogs. We've got a deer walking outside the front, and they see it. And
they want to let you know, huh?
They want to let me know. They're very protective and territorial. Anyhow, she ended up having the emergency surgery. They did go to the hospital, got checked out. If she had delayed even a half an hour, she may not have made it because it progressed very quickly after they got to the hospital. Had to go in, do fairly major surgery. It was an artery that had torn.
Oh, my gosh.
And, and this stuff happens. And over the years, I've got dozens of stories where folks, you know, made it or didn't make it because they went in or they didn't go in and get checked out timely. So it's very important anytime something happens, get into the ER, an urgent care, and get checked out and make sure that something more significant isn't going on. And it can and often makes all the difference. I mean, literally life or death, you know, decision.
And also then certainly get to the ER, but then also call you and at 303-999-9999, correct?
Yes, because I'm going to give that initial early advice that will make a difference in the eventual outcome of the claim or the case. I'm always saying that time is of the essence. Good advice, excellent advice on the front end is worth a lot more than good or excellent advice down the road.
Well, and John, I wanted to ask one other question. We had Dr. Travis Morell on in the first hour, and we were talking about this whole transgender movement on children, and it's not evidence-based. There's reviews, reports coming out, and he mentioned that there are starting to be lawsuits against some of these hospitals, and gosh, that seems creative to me. That seems like something to start to hold these hospitals and these medical practices accountable. That sounds like a good idea to me.
I think it's an excellent idea, and you know, things are not going to change until people are held accountable, and it always, you know, it starts with the money, it ends with the money. They're making millions and millions of dollars on doing these procedures, convincing people that it's the right thing to do. And to the extent you can hit them where it counts. And unfortunately, I mean, insurance companies, big business, hospitals, it's always, and it's sad to say, but it's always about the money. So if you can take the incentive away from them through a lawsuit, through a class action, it will make a difference.
Is that something you and Boson Law have thought about?
Something I'd certainly look at. Have not done something like that yet, but again, the right case where we've got the facts to support a claim, give me a call.
Okay. So a parent, if something's happened to their child, at least give you a call. And because I really think that this is something that we need to make happen. I really do. So what is that phone number, John Boson?
303-999-9999.
Again, that is John Boson, Boson Law, 303-999-9999. We'll talk to you next week, John Boson.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great rest of your show.
Thank you. And the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team can help. They can create personalized insurance plans to cover all your needs, from protection for your cars to your home, condo, boat, motorcycle, business, and renter's coverage. Contact the Roger Mangan Team now at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Team is there.
Great news. I just got the State Farm Personal Price Plan on our home and auto insurance.
You told our agent about my thing for romance novels?
No, you don't have to get that personal. Our agent just helped me choose affordable options to create a personalized price just for us.
Oh, sweet. Then you won't believe the love triangle Jen is in now.
Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999. 9999.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of the Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show, and thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. And the National Shooting Sports Foundation leads the way in advocating for the industry and its business and jobs, keeping weapons out of the wrong hands, encouraging enjoyment of recreational shooting and hunting, and helping people better understand the industry's lawful products. Susan Kochevar is on the line. You know her. She is an entrepreneur and owner of the 88 Drive-In Theater. Susan Kochevar, welcome to the show.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day, and the 88 Drive-In Theater is open. What season is this? What number is this?
This is our 48th year.
Oh, my gosh. That is so amazing. And what about the whole drive-in industry? I know sometimes we're talking, and you said you've been to a big conference. What are you seeing across the nation?
Yeah, people think it's funny that, you know, most of the drive-ins is about a little under 300 of us left. There's some new builds, and every year some get torn down. We have a convention every February. Most of us know each other and share ideas and things. Because we're so spread apart, we don't really compete anymore. But it's getting tougher to operate any small business, really. So, you know, that's very concerning to me.
Well, particularly here in Colorado. I mean, I think entrepreneurs are getting just so squeezed with taxes and fees and regulations. And I really feel it's by design. You know, when the World Economic Forum says by 2030 we'll own nothing, I'm kind of taking them at their word. That's what they're trying to, you know, make happen. And then they said, you'll be happy. I don't think that we'll be happy at all on that. But one of the ways I think that they hope to accomplish this is through high property taxes. And here in Colorado, in 2017, I think it is, I think it was, is the Gallagher Amendment was repealed from the voters voted to repeal that amendment to the Constitution, which it actually had guardrails in it to keep residential property taxes in check, and also business property as well, although it was sold to try to, that there was something unfair about residential tax rates and business tax rates, and that was probably true, but it was sold that it would make this better for businesses. Well, you have some personal experience on that, right?
It did not make it better for businesses, and you're correct. That's exactly how they sold it. I remember speaking to, I think it was an attorney friend of mine, and I said something about that, and he said, oh, no, it won't affect business property taxes. Well, I put in a phone call to him a couple months ago because our property taxes went from $13,000 last year, which is a lot, to, they were $14,000 last year. This year, they went to $43,000. It's like having someone reach in and snatch all of my operating capital before I ever even open the drive-in for the season. It's terrible.
How can that be? Was there a reassessment that assessed your property at a much higher value, or what happened?
That's what happened with all the properties. Now, we're going to try to do an abatement and see if we can get that lowered some. But you know, we're in Adams County, and Adams County de-tabored. They took that cap off that Tabor keeps on. So Adams County got hit harder than some of the other counties. And this comes from Natalie Minton, who has just been all over this issue, discussing property taxes and what's going to happen after Gallagher. It's a mess.
Well, it really is a mess, and Do you feel that you're going to get some relief? Because this is going to put businesses out of business.
I don't know if I'm going to get any relief, but I'm going to try. You know, I'm not the only person that's been affected. And we opened, and we have so much community support. And I want to see if I can rally the troops, rally the citizens, so to speak, and push back on these terrible property taxes for both homeowners and businesses. I had a kid who delivers my soda, and he was saying that his dad lives in Adams County and has owned his home for a long time, and he was telling me their property taxes doubled, and his dad's very worried that he's not going to be able to keep his home now. We can't allow this to happen. We can't allow these people to strip people of their homes and businesses. You know, a lot of times, too, I'll hear people, you know, so that $43,000, that's too much for us to just, you know, trim out of our budget. So some prices have to go up. And our customers have been very nice and appreciative. But a lot of times people do not understand why prices go up, or employees don't understand why they can't have raises. These kinds of things are unseen to employees and the public often, but it's one of the things that's really killing our businesses and deeply hurting our employees.
Well, and it is all public policy that is making this happen. And so, of course, people have been very concerned about property taxes. And so in the state legislature, within just 3 or 4 days left, there was this big property tax bill that was, it was Senate Bill 233 that was proposed. And there, first of all, it ended up that all the Republicans also voted for this. And I think probably they were talked into it because Polis, really, when he signed the bill, he said, you know, reducing property taxes. It's not the case at all. It's it probably is reducing the amount of the increase, so maybe capping the increase. But it, what we really need is to actually have cuts, not have caps on the increases, Susan Kochevar.
Exactly. The thing we need to cut is the size of government, and cutting the property taxes will help that. They shouldn't have the power to strip people of, I mean, they're just stripping out all the profit out of everything is what they're doing. Without profit, I can't fix things, I can't give raises, I can't expand anything. Why we can't have nice things? This tax situation is untenable.
Well, now I can't remember which guest I was talking with, but or maybe it was a conversation, said that in America, Susan, we have moved from producing things to consuming things, focusing on consuming instead of producing. And the production of America, people, the entrepreneurship of producing something, so producing an experience at the 88 Drive-In Theater that people are willing to trade their hard-earned dollars for, that is called, it's called capitalism. There's no coercion in it whatsoever. But we have moved away from thinking about producing, inventing, being creative, to what can I get? And I'm just saying that overall as a society. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that the term capitalism, the definition has been twisted. And I think that the verb definition of profit has been twisted. And when you talk about profit, people are demonized. And, you know, profit is what's left after all the expenses. And when you don't have anything left, you can't do anything else. I wrote this very short little thing that I keep on my Facebook page. And it says, without profit, I cannot put people first. I cannot expand my business and give people better, more meaningful jobs with better pay. My employees are my best asset. I cannot give raises to my employees or send them to training classes. Training is the best investment for me and my employees. They can take lessons with the lessons that they learn with them forever. I cannot enhance my business so that my customers have more things to enjoy with their families. I also cannot keep my prices affordable so that many people can enjoy time with their community, family, and friends. I cannot contribute to worthy charities. I cannot afford to volunteer. I cannot purchase things that keep others employed. I cannot store money in the bank, which gets loaned to other businesses so people can purchase things. I would have to depend on other people's money to take care of me, and that is not putting others first. Nothing good happens without profit, and we have got to get back to these ideas. Profit is the incentive for people to work hard, do good things, and provide good services and products. We've got to get back to that.
Well, and let's go to break, because one of the times, you know, when we got the young guys on, I love the conversations as we're going through economics in one lesson with producer Joe and producer Luke. But you triggered me on this, and that was that profits do not accrue. I think a number of people think that profits just accrue, that they just happen. They don't. It's a continual trading value for value. And so let's bite that off when we come back. I'm talking with Susan Kochevar. She is an entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, great sponsor of the show as well. The 88 Drive-In Theater is open. And we'll come back to Susan here in just a moment. These are such important discussions. And another sponsor is Lavaca Meat Company.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lorne understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lorne Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lorne at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. It is a beautiful springtime here in Colorado. Beautiful day. And Jansen Photography has a beautiful property. It is an old farmstead located in Lakewood. And so there's that beautiful backdrop, and then Glenn Jansen can work magic with a camera, and Mary Jansen can then do little touch-ups to just make everything perfect. And you take a look at their website. I mean, I don't know how they have gotten these big families to get everybody looking at the same at the camera at the same time. It is truly a feat. So check out their website. That is jansenphotography.com. And they're running a Mother's Day special through Father's Day, but it is a lovely gift to give someone a gift certificate for a portrait at Jansen Photography. So again, that is jansenphotography.com. Susan, do you remember we were having a conversation about, I was having it with the young guys, producer Joe and producer Luke, and I think the statement was made about profits accruing. And profits don't accrue. Certainly, you can accrue interest if you have money in like a CD or on a there's a loan, interest can accrue on that, but profits don't accrue. So how would you address that?
Yeah, it's not like people think. I don't just, you know, at the end of the year just suck up all the profits. So I have the profit, I goes in the bank. Of course, some goes to pay the business owner, depends on how well you did managing the business and what happened to you. For instance, last year it rained all year and the profits were very minimal. And so I save a good deal of that, which is a good thing, because when they snatched that $43,000 from me, I wouldn't have been able to keep going. The kids wouldn't have jobs. I wouldn't have been able to buy more supplies, because out of that profit, you know, that's a lot of that's my operating expenses for the next year. So I pay myself some, of course, but I also have to save that to, you know, fix whatever line might have burst during the winter. I have to fix the ground from the rain. And it's whatever you have to do with that profit is different than in any business, of course, depending on the type of business. But you don't just suck up all that profit every year and, just ignore all your employees or your business, right, or because it can't keep going.
Well, and you have to work the next year. The profit doesn't automatically come to you. It doesn't automatically accrue. You've got to continue to create your business each year so that you can make a profit. And so I think that's the difference. If you have money that you've saved up, let's say, and put in a CD, and then you're being paid interest on it, that interest can accrue, but profit, businesses are different. You have to continue to provide that product. Now, and if you provide a product that a lot of people want, then, and they may buy it again, certainly in that way, I would say maybe a profit could accrue, like, you know, something that, that they buy every year, like, you know, what I buy regarding my Microsoft subscription or something like that. Well, then, in a way, profits, I guess, accrue for Microsoft because I have that. But I guess each year I would make a decision on whether or not I would want to continue having that particular product. So it's just a little different, I think, on that term. And again, I think that people, I think we get mixed up on it because we've not necessarily been taught about it.
Yeah, I think that's true. And those fellows are really smart. And it's hard to see all that unless you've actually operated a business. And we just don't teach kids about business and entrepreneurialism in general. You know, one thing about running a drive-in and being a part of it for 48 years, there have been a lot of changes. You know, I saved and saved and saved, and at one point, the industry went from 35-millimeter film to digital projection, and that digital projector cost me $80,000. If I didn't get that digital projector, I'd have been closed. So that's where that profit went for quite a few years for that digital projector. Plus, there's always stuff you have to fix up, you know. And this year I wanted to redo the bathroom floors, but that got completely stripped out, as did, you know, as did raises for some of my employees. I could give small raises, but not very much. But employees don't see that, and customers don't see that how that stuff gets stripped out. You know, the other thing we had, too, as you know, we have this continual raise in minimum wage, which is also another really bad policy, because it's not that I mind paying people more, but when I hire people, they don't have any skills, especially for my type of business, so I would pay them less. And then if my people who've been with me longer have demonstrated ability to come into work, who know the job, you know, give them more money every year. Well, what happens with minimum wage when it goes up, that I hire these people and I have to give my, at a higher rate, and then I also have to give my current employees more money, but it reduces the amount of money that I can pay that current employee. So it has a leveling effect on wages, and that's not right. So all these policies really are destroying, pay and businesses and just properties in general. We also had the Family Leave Act go through, so now I have to take a little bit more from all of my employees, and I have to match that match that amount of money out of whatever profit I have. So when I get and when minimum wage goes up, those wages go up. Social Security and Medicare and now the Family Leave are all a percentage of payroll, as are unemployment and workers' comp. All that stuff goes up. It's just getting harder and harder to run a business.
Well, and I think it's important that employees, because typically employees, the first place that they think to go if they want a raise is to go to the employer. That makes sense, yes. But the fact that there's all these payroll deductions that, as you mentioned, go to Social Security and Medicare and family leave and all those different deductions, if we would lower those taxes, then employees would have more money in their pockets to take care of their families, to save, invest, travel, all those kinds of things. And I think that that is a place where we need to have more of a discussion, Susan.
Yeah, it would be almost 20% more. In fact, it would be good if people had all the money for their health care plans themselves and could go out, similar to car insurance, and look for their own insurance, and then they could carry that with them wherever they go. I don't think people know that the reason that health care got stuck to employment was because at one point the government decided, businesses can only pay their employees so much money. So businesses were like, well, how are we going to, you know, incentivize our really good employees? Well, why don't we offer health care? And that's how all that stuff got married. It was a horrible government cap on how much you could pay your employees. What a disgusting thing for them to get into.
Well, and it was their answer to government induced inflation. So they put in wage and price controls, and there's your force word, control. And then being creative and innovative, businesses said, how can we pay our employees more? And they came up with healthcare that then got attached to jobs. And then we get all the way down here where we're at. And now we have government that now wants to, particularly here in Colorado, run our healthcare system. And what happens with government gets involved in this is the prices go up, the quality goes down, and the supply becomes limited. And that is antithetical to creativity and innovation and entrepreneurship. We need to take the shackles off our economy, and we need to take the shackles off our small businesses, and we need to get back to producing things. And the cost to produce things in America is so expensive. That's one of the reasons that businesses have gone to China, is because labor is much cheaper there, and the goods can be produced there at a cheaper price. People in America have liked the affordability of many of these items, but one of the reasons is because of all these rules, regulations, and taxes. We have made labor so expensive. Thank you, labor unions. We've made labor so expensive that those manufacturing jobs have moved away from America.
Yes, and I contend that that is by design. We have certainly at the federal level representatives in government who have gone into business with companies, with foreign companies such as China, and then it becomes valuable to these representatives to pass laws that make employing people, regulations and things, higher here in this country. And so then when we can't hire people in our country because it's so expensive, and the companies go overseas, these representatives in government make out, and that's wrong. We have a very nasty problem with our state and federal representatives getting into places where they should not be.
Yes, and they're supposed to be representing the people, not representing special interests and special agendas. You're up in Commerce City, and one of your neighbors, the city of Brighton, has given a developer, basically a developer, a metropolitan district, and I like development, but I don't like this kind of stuff. They've given them eminent domain to take a portion of Palaise Farms, which Palaise Farms says it would make them almost inoperable, for the water storage, something regarding water storage, for a new development. They are now doing this under the guise of a 100-year floodplain, something by the Urban Flood and Control or whatever. They've done a study on it, and then these studies, I think, are used then as the basis for ultimately, I think, taking away people's land is what I see happening here. Have you taken a look at this at all?
Yes, it hit my radar. I am furious because I, of course, own property too, and the same thing could happen to me. Eminent domain is being greatly abused. So as I understand it, there was some meeting that Palaise Farms was supposedly informed of about this developer wanting part of their property. The farm owners weren't even aware of the meeting, and I believe that's true because this is how it happens. And then the next thing they know, they get a notice that, you know, this developer wants to take part of their property. The developer never knocked on their door and said, excuse me, we'd like to know if we could buy part of your property, right? And it doesn't matter to me whether the property's in the floodplain. It doesn't matter. It matters to me. This is their property. This property belongs to the people who own the farm. If they don't want to sell it, then go somewhere else. Somebody else will want to sell their property, and you can do your development there. but municipalities have been abusing this and to destroy these people's farm, and which has been their family for a very long time, and run them out of business is a horrible thing. And it doesn't matter to me that whether it will make them inoperable or not. It's their property. Property rights are paramount in this country. That is how everyone builds wealth, including homeowners.
Well, and we really have seen property rights under assault down here at this legislature as well. The idea that they, and I think Polis signed this into law, this accessory dwelling units that can be built, I think, all over, you know, what they've done is taken local zoning and had put the state in charge of that in all of our neighborhoods. And that is a direct assault upon property rights as well, Susan.
Yes, zoning laws are in violation of property rights. And I've had this discussion with a lot of people. It's kind of hard, I think, sometimes for people to get. But zoning definitely violates property rights. And I think that that also needs to be pared way back. You'll often hear people say, well, you know, zoning won't, well, for instance, there's a drive-in in another state. And so there's a group of people that go around in RVs, and they pay the property owners to stay overnight. And the guy can't have someone stay at his drive-in overnight because the zoning won't allow it. That's ridiculous. It's that man's property. People come there anyway and watch the movie. To stay overnight is not a big deal. And he's certainly not going to let people camp out there and make a mess of things because that's his livelihood. So he can't do it because of zoning. You see how those things just, all those rules upon rules destroy everything. Lots of opportunities and why we can't have nice things.
Okay, hey, Susan, I've got some more questions about this zoning thing because when I talked to Randall O'Toole, I mean, I think zoning has gotten out of hand where, anyway, I want to talk some more about that. And, of course, I'd love to hear from all of you as well, 303-477-5600. This did come in from one of our listeners. It says, when you're talking about your property taxes, it says, come on, Susan, you need to pay those taxes to take care of all the newcomers.
Right.
Okay. Before we go to break, wanted to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation will be having an event for Memorial Day. It is important on Memorial Day that we stop and we reflect on those that have given their lives for our freedom and our liberty. And a great event would be to go out to the USMC Memorial Foundation. You can get more information at usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That is usmcmemorialfoundation.org. A show comes to you because of our sponsors, and someone that stands up for property rights is Karen Levine.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Franktown Firearms is fully stocked and ready for you to come shoot. Franktown Firearms is a family-friendly shooting range and gun store, constantly bringing in new inventory of ammunition, firearms, and accessories that you need. Come down to shop or just shoot on their spacious, well-ventilated 10-lane, 30-yard range with staff who will help you become as proficient a shooter as you can be. You'll have a blast with their multi-level training courses that also include tactical shooting while walking, moving, and shooting from behind cover. This isn't your average range, and it's not your average inventory. If Franktown doesn't have it, they'll help you track it down. And for a limited time, KLZ listeners enjoy an exclusive offer. Tell them you heard this spot on KLZ, and they'll give you a free gun rental, Class 3 weapons not included, when you rent a lane. And they'll give you your first membership month for free. So stop in and let them know KLZ sent you. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theaters, Susan Kochevar, is on the line. And we have caller Doug on the line. Doug, what is on your radar?
Hey, Kim, just wanted to say hi. It's been a while, since a couple, 3 weeks since I talked to you guys. I wanted to say a climate conversation that you were part of. You can find it online. Anyone can find it online. It's just outstanding. There is no, I mean, there's no debate there. It's just so cut and dry, really, what's going on. But people just need to take the time to look. And I think a lot of people realize it's all BS. There's too many that don't realize it, but there's a lot that do. And the other thing I wanted to mention was I was thinking about colleges, the so-called colleges. There's a documentary online, Why Colleges Are Becoming Cults. It was a year ago by Dr. Lyle Asher from Lewis and Clark College in Portland. You got to give him some credit for standing up being in Portland like that, but this really goes into what's happened to our so-called education system. And the colleges in the last 60 years, it goes back from 65 to 75 and through the present. And he talks about how that ground was laid by the socialist professors from the 30s and 40s under Roosevelt, and how in their latter years they kind of laid the ground and planted the seed in the 60s. And of course, they were taught by the Wilsonian Democrats. But it's really kind of ties it all together. And he also gives ideas on how to get out of it. I think a professor for 35 plus years, he sees ways out of it, but it's going to take awareness on parents' part when they send their kids to these colleges. So, once again, it's are you still there, Kim?
Yep, I'm still here. I'm listening.
Yeah, the documentary is Why Colleges Are Becoming Cults by Dr. Lyle Asher. Really well done. It's about an hour and a half, but well worth the time if anyone's interested.
Okay. So, thank you, Doug. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you. And, hey, Susan, this came in on the text line. It says, maybe the government can pay the drive-in for free movies for the newcomers in the name of economic development. I know that you would say no, but that is creative.
Yeah, see, but, you know, well, your listeners are super smart. But even Doug's comments, I do agree with everything that Doug said. But I think people are starting to, it's getting pretty bad, and I think people are really waking up. You know, you can't propagandize your way out of really high gas and food prices. It's just, and people see the education levels and what has happened to everybody through COVID and shutting down the businesses and all the damage that has been done in the last 4 years. So I think the time is now to swing this around and to mount a pushback on the government in general and certainly these property taxes in Colorado.
Well, definitely. And that property tax bill that was pushed through in the last days of the session, first of all, that they didn't just come up with that, Susan. That had been on the burner for a while. And there were two Republicans that are on the bill as sponsors. And I really think that Republicans could have been very statesmanlike. I think they could have said, listen, we know that property taxes are too high, but we need real property tax relief. This is not it. And there's not enough time for us to, each of us, to really read this legislation, to understand it. Since the rules have been suspended, there's not even debate. The public doesn't know. And so because of that, we're going to put the brakes on this and come back with a better idea next year. I really think that we've got to have people that start to stand up and speak truth. I know that they all ended up voting for it, and the reason is probably from a political standpoint, they didn't want to see the headlines that said Republicans vote against property tax relief. Well, it's not honest. It was not property tax relief. It was relief from the increases, and we need to have real solutions on this. Susan Kochevar.
We do, and soon. Because it's getting to a level now that we're going to see a lot of, you know, home foreclosures and more business closures. And all you're going to have is the great big corporate guys who are already in with government. And that's and nobody likes that. It's not good for anyone.
Nope. Competition and big government and big business like each other because they can squash the little guy. We only have a couple of minutes left. But on this zoning thing, I mean, I really am a property rights girl, but zoning, I initially think was good. It was kind of like neighborhoods agreed. This is going to be a single family neighborhood. The people agreed to that and then kind of zoned for that. But then zoning got out of hand. But if somebody's in a single family neighborhood and somebody wants to put up an accessory dwelling unit, from a property rights standpoint, I mean, in a way, yes, but you don't want government forcing. And I know throwing this out with just 2 minutes left is a big question, but what would you say to that?
Yeah, I think it's a huge property rights violation. I think people want to hang on to zoning because they think, oh, well, you know, if I have a small neighborhood, they'll put up this giant high-rise apartment thing. Most of that is forced by government. You know, they come in with this big idea, oh, well, you know, we want, you know, everybody to live in 15-minute cities, and, you know, and government is really the culprit behind the high density and destroying nice neighborhoods and stuff like that. Most people that want a nice neighborhood, that's what they want. They're, you know, and the developer wouldn't put that big high-rise there without that force of government giving them, you know, property tax breaks and other breaks. It just, government makes a mess of it.
Right.
I think you probably wouldn't have much of that. And, you know, if you and I wouldn't buy a home in an area like that because we don't want that. And if somebody else wants that in another area, then they would buy there. But I think it's government that created the mess and says, see, you need us with this zoning. No, they're making it worse.
Okay. Susan Kochevar, I always learn so much from you. It's always a good conversation. And 88 Drive-In Theater, tell us the hours and what's the upcoming movies.
Yep, we'll be open. We've been open for a couple weeks now, and we'll be open through the Memorial Day holiday. We have a really cute picture called IF, which stands for Imaginary Friends for Kids. It's really cute, along with Ghostbusters. $10 per person. Children under 12 are free, and you can come in and enjoy our snack bar and a nice evening under the stars. The weather has been much better this year than last year, so we're very happy about that. So come visit us.
And I think that you have the best popcorn in the country.
Thank you. I'll buy it.
Because you have this vintage popcorn machine that, and I'm a popcorn connoisseur, so I can attest that it is the best popcorn. Susan Kochevar, thank you so much. We will talk to you again very soon.
Sounds wonderful. Have a good day.
And our quote for the end of the show is from Mark Twain, says, give every day the chance to become the most beautiful day of your life. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, if honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.